Hey, is this thing on? Testing. Welcome to the Boost VC podcast, your weekly dose of fun, informative interviews with incredible guests from the Boost VC network. We'll dig into the latest topics around venture capital, startups, and emerging technologies. I'm your host, Adam Draper, founder and managing director of Boost VC, and a fourth generation venture capitalist. Are you ready to rock? Tell me what you're gonna do. All right, today we're joined by AJ Forsyth, who's the co-founder and CEO of iCracked, the biggest on-demand repair shop for iPhones and Samsungs. AJ, hi, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Okay, you don't have an accent. Where are you from?
So, I was born in Detroit, and then...
I actually didn't know that.
I lived in seven states growing up. My dad was in finance and kept moving us around. And, like, it kind of sucked moving around so much and having to make new friends, but it gave me a pretty holistic worldview. But I would call Texas and California my two home states.
Where in Texas?
Dallas and Austin.
Oh, awesome. Okay, what is iCracked? I gave a quick thing, yep. But like, what are you doing?
Absolutely. So I started the company 7 years ago with the belief that like technology should be easy and just inherently work. And we ended up coming up with this model where we have technicians called iTechs around the U.S. We have a few thousand of them. And whenever you break your phone, you can press a button and we dispatch them to your home office or coffee shop and they repair the device generally on site. Mm-hmm. And so it's, if you think of it as like Uber for smartphone repair, we power the platform that our iTechs use to repair people's devices.
Yeah, I break my phone every once in a while and it's great. So
keep it up.
yeah, breakage. Yeah, love that. And how's the business going?
So we're actually at a cool inflection point in the company where we now have technicians within 93% of the U.S. population. And so what we're looking at is like what other services can you do with our iTechs? And so given that we have this set of APIs for scheduling and inventory management, we're looking at launching smart home installation with the technicians.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, 78,000 people applied to be one of our iTechs. We only accept about 1 to 1.5% of those that apply.
Yeah.
And we put them through training, background check, and activating the software platform. And the great thing about it is since they're so technical, it doesn't matter if they're repairing phones or installing thermostats or smart locks or doorbells or security cameras. So we want to build the core business is repair, but we have this opportunity to build one of the last like on-demand tech workforces the world will need.
Oh, that's awesome! I'm just finding out about this now, but yeah. So AJ has actually been a mentor for the Boost VC program for like all of the sessions, basically.
That doesn't mean I give good advice, though.
but he does. I will say, and that's I think he's one of the best because he's always asking how he can help. Always, he's like an incredible network. So entrepreneurs should probably figure out how to get to know AJ. But so you are an entrepreneur. What advice would you give a first-time founder who's just starting out?
So I think there'd be certainly a lot of things. I think
don't do it.
Yeah. Well, so there's some truth to that. But I would say that, like, don't start it for the wrong reasons. I've talked with a lot of, like, examples are people coming out of MBA programs where they say, hey, I want to start a company, but I don't know what I want to start.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, the best companies tend to come from personal needs. So, yeah. Like solving a personal need versus like actually trying to find a business model. And I would say make sure you're starting it for the right reasons. And then the second thing is it's definitely not as glamorous as it's made to be. I think it's sexy to be like, yeah, I own and run a company. But I don't think the world understands just how much work and how much sacrifice you have to give to start in.
How the sausage is made is yes. a little dirtier, but the yeah. Well, I think that those are both great pieces of advice in general. Well, okay. What do you think differentiates you from, like, what makes you, you've been running for 7 years, like, how do you think you are a competitive advantage?
So, I'll have to give that some thought. I would say that it, I think that when I...
What skills do you have? Okay.
Oh, I think, well, I would say I'm just spontaneous, which is good, and it's definitely a double-edged sword, but when we, when we need to get stuff done, we just go out and do it versus, like, deliberate on it. One of the mottos that I've been living by, lately is, like, indecision is sometimes, can be far worse than making the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, any plan is better than no plan.
Yes. Yeah. And, but I would say I'm persistent. I love people. So I think that we've built a community of like, we have about 80 employees right now. And I think everyone loves working with each other.
I love the spontaneity. You say that you're spontaneous. The first time I met it, well, not the first time, but one of the first times we ever hung out, he and his brother Chip invited me to go shark diving.
which we saw more jellyfish than we did sharks.
Yeah. Well, yes. But like, I get this call. We actually invested in his brother's winery, wine company, Rebel Coast, and the which is awesome. Everyone should have it. It's the bottle with a mustache on it.
It's fantastic wine.
It's good wine. It's good wine. But I get this call, and it's like, show up at 4:30 in the a.m., at this random dock, and it's, you know, docks aren't like the most welcoming of places. And I'm like, I don't know if they're gonna shoot me or kill me.
We did put you in a shark cage.
Yes, put me in a shark cage. It is scary. It's actually scarier to not see the sharks or anything, really, because you're just sitting there for 30 minutes underneath the water.
Freezing water off the coast of an island that has more shark attacks than, like, just about anywhere on Earth.
And there's like, you literally are just waiting to be eaten. Like, that's what I felt like. Okay, well, it was really...
That's how it feels to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, just waiting to be... Except, you know, you spontaneity, you just keep making progress. okay, so you have a co-founder.
Yes.
And do you think it's important to have a co-founder?
Well, absolutely. So my co-founder is Anthony Martin. We knew each other in college, and what's funny is we always catch up every couple months about, like, business ideas, and, like, he was running his own startup at the time, and I remember asking myself, like, can I see myself working with him for the next 10 years, and the answer was yes. And I think the way you judge if a co-founder is good or not is, like, would you start another company with them in the future? And I 100% would. And I like, just having, he's one of the only people in the world that can be a sounding board for, like, the company's problems. And he's doing everything for the right reasons, which is for the best interest of the company.
So you think the best touchstone for figuring out who a good, like, co-founder would be is, would you want to work with them for 10? Like, starting a company?
So Anthony and I joked about when he moved in with his girlfriend. He was like, I've been within 10 feet of AJ for the last 5 years, and that wasn't a joke. Like, we shared a room in college. He used to sleep on a beanbag under my hanging bed, which is always exciting. And then we've never argued about anything personal, but we've argued about stuff in the business, but it's always to make the business better. It's none of it's ever been personal.
Yeah. I always think that it's good that you can argue, like, absolutely. With a co-founder, you know, and then you go, then you're still happy with one another. Do you have any, you're saying you have this new motto that you're living by, which is, any plan is better than no plan.
Yes.
Concept. Do you have any habits that you have instilled that, like, do you wake up at the same time every day? Do you have anything, like...
So I try to get up as early as possible every day, which is generally, like, 5 or 6. I don't know if it's a habit, but more of, like, I just hate the feeling of waking up at, like, 9 o'clock and feeling like half the day's gone. I actually have been working out more, and...
In the a.m.?
Midday. So okay. So you work for 5 or 6 hours, work out, and then work for another 5, 6, 7 hours. And then, like, I think a habit is, like, I generally always take meetings, even when I think that, like, hey, this is going to be silly. And the reason is, like, you do 100 meetings, and if you find one future co-founder, best friend, business mentor, investor, it's
worth it.
It's all worth it.
That's, That's a really good way. But I've been working. I just read this book, Essentialism. It's really good. Highly recommend it. And I've been trying to instill like a routine in my schedule. So I actually wake up at 5:30 every morning now, and I write for 30 minutes, and then I literally map out my day, and then I figure out what questions I'm going to ask. Like, you know, figured out what questions I was going to ask.
Wait, that's awesome.
And then for every one of my meetings. And then, I am operating on, like, better level now. I'm ready for everything. Like, before I even get to work, I've had a whole day of work. So the waking up early thing, I think, is, like, super important. I also, you know, you give, like, 3 hours to yourself where no one's, like, asking.
No kids are crying.
Well, a little bit. I very much enjoy my time with my daughter. I cook eggs in the morning. Most
egg whites or eggs?
Eggs. She eats the whole thing. what do you do? What do you think you do poorly? I do a lot poorly, but I do some things very well. But what do you think you do poorly that you would like to do better?
So I think I can definitely improve on being a manager. I was an athlete growing up, and my brother and I both wrestled at Cal Poly. And I think I'm a decent like coach, but I'm not the best manager. And I think that how I've mitigated that is hire as many autonomous people that can manage themselves, and then also hire experienced managers. So like building out your senior executive team, and really just I think I could improve on managing people. I feel like I can come off too harsh sometimes.
Yeah. Well, there is something to just like throwing them in the middle of the shark infested water and seeing if they see if they swim to shore somewhere. Everyone has different management styles though. Like you say, you're a good coach and not necessarily a fantastic manager, but like isn't a coach and a manager, aren't they sort of like?
Yeah, so I feel like just with me personally, it's either like if I start getting heavily involved, I can actually micromanage, and I think that's the worst for everything. And so I
got it.
I try
to get that getting caught up in the details of each individual. That completely makes sense.
Yep.
I get that. Yes. If iCrack works and you succeed in 15 years, what are you looking back at as like sort of the best moments of starting that company? And also, what does the world look like?
We'll start with what does the world look like. I would love to build a company where anywhere on Earth you can press a button and one of our iTechs will show up and solve your tech problem. So that could be phone repair. It could be drone repair. It could be installing smart home products. It could be fixing smart home products. And I think it will be successful if we're the technical service platform that the world uses to solve its problems.
Mm-hmm.
The moment I'd probably be proudest of is actually, I don't know if it's in the future yet, but looking back over the years, like I think what the early team that we had, the people that would just crank out, like 15 hour days and just like eat, sleep and breathe the company. I'd be proud of them having stuck through it. Through the crazy roller coaster ride.
I remember your old offices that were like, it had a weird loft thing.
Good,
and
good memory.
On the 400 Seaport Corridor over there. Are you still over there in that? So
our fulfillment center is there, and then our main office is just north of there.
Yeah, but what I always admired about what you had done was you built like this incredible culture where everyone wanted to hang out with one another. And so you sort of like gamed the system in a way where everyone wants to work and hang out, and they're just surrounded by each other. And then weren't they living together for
like so we actually, that's a funny story. So we ended up, we started in a living room in college, and as we were growing, we kept hiring people that we knew. So they'd move across country and they wouldn't have a place to live. And so we'd say, hey, you can move into, the spare bedroom. It got really bad when we had, 11 people working and living out of a 5-bedroom house, 11 people and 2 cats. And so we actually got our first office then. But we kept the company housing, and it got so bad that we eventually had 11 houses with like 50 or 60 employees working in them or living in them. And
hey, we provide housing for our for our companies. I get it.
And so we ended up when we raised some money, the first thing our investor said is like, "That's a huge liability. You guys need to wind them down." So now we are officially have zero company houses. But it was crazy when we had 40 or 50 people living and working together.
It is one of those things that just instills this like culture of trust, though, where everyone like is just always working with one another, yes. No matter where they are at home. Did you have one person like cooking for everyone or cleaning, or was it just sort of a?
So that's
commune?
Actually funny. So we used to just bring in like loads of Costco and everyone would make their own food. We had one of my good friends working with me where the only time I would see him during the day was in the kitchen, and so we literally started catering lunches in so that he would stop making food for 5 hours a day. so it was actually hilarious that like one person just making too many slices of bread with jam on it, I think was his main thing he made.
it was like the mom at the beginning of the day, just like so packing funny. lunches, little Lunchables.
He'd walk around and like deliver food and head back and keep making. I was like, all right, we need to start catering.
You created a product for your team out of need,
yes.
Which was catering.
Yes.
How do you think your job has had to change and evolve over the last 7 years?
So I'm definitely getting, so we just hired our first COO in, about 6 months ago. And so we've shifted a lot of my day-to-day roles, to him and he's fantastic at like staying on track, keeping focus, doing like constant follow-ups and goal setting with the team. And so my job is now moving more towards future, which is, what do we want to be in 5 years?
What's the vision?
Culture. It's hiring. So I'm spending about 25% of my time interviewing people. But it's cool that now that I've kind of pulled myself out of the day to day stuff, that I get to live in the future and figure out what type of company we're going to become.
Oh, that's really exciting. When originally you were probably more product focused,
yes,
and so you've had to take a step
for better or
back.
For worse. I used to be way too hands on.
Okay. Well. That was basically now there's a lightning round that I didn't share these questions with
you.
I did not, and I don't. I never do. And these questions, they're rapid fire. It's exactly what you think of as lightning round. So I go ding 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 lightning round, and then I say, "What's your favorite sport to watch?"
I don't really watch sports.
Okay.
But if I had to choose,
play. How about favorite sport to play?
I'd say throwing the Nerf football with my co-founder and talking about business problems.
That seems like a good one. If you could be a food, what food would you be?
I'd be a sashimi roll.
That is. I should have a. But and why?
Oh, I love sushi. I could live off sushi.
Well, okay. What's your favorite place you've ever been?
I would say Thailand for sure.
And what is your proudest memory?
Chip, my brother Chip graduating from college for the third time after he lied to our parents about having graduated.
I need to get Chip on the show. we actually created rules for Boost VC that revolved around his being here. He had like three animals that weren't normal. It was like a snake,
a turtle,
and an iguana or something like that.
But we had literally three graduation parties for Chip.
Your family?
Yes.
Oh my god.
And then when he finally got his diploma, my parents went out to dinner with it and gave it its own seat and had the graduation dinner with
him. Hey, how can you check that he actually did graduate?
They actually did.
Okay, they checked. Well, that's good. That's a nice thing that your proudest memory is seeing Chips. Okay. Favorite video game?
I would say probably Grand Theft Auto, but I really don't play video games. No, actually, I take that back. I would say Google Earth in VR.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. It's so cool.
It is unbelievable.
What it made me think was my daughter is going to look at the world in a completely different way than I did.
It's going to be insane.
Yeah, it's just better than every globe you've ever looked at. Okay, and last, what's your definition of success?
I would say working harder than you ever have while having more fun than you ever have. If I can do both of those, then I'll be happy. Like, I love having fun at work.
I love that. That's, yeah. Well, yeah, that's, I mean, it's having fun while building something of value that you love building. Okay, I love that. The well, that's it. Thank you for coming on the Boost VC podcast. Follow at iCracked. It's just at iCracked.
Yep. And then iCracked.com is a website. It's pretty straightforward.
Okay, perfect. That's where you can visit AJ and his crew. So thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Unfortunately, we don't have enough time for Mark Zuckerberg today. But tune in next week when he's available. Thank you so much for tuning in during your busy day to learn more about emerging technologies. We at Boost VC are happy that you're a part of our community. Make sure to check us out at Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Boost VC. Or go to our website, www.boost.vc. And remember, love your tribe, hustle every day, and stay true to yourself. This is Adam Draper, signing off. Big black eagles flying around this town. One of these days he's gonna pay a visit, drop his load on the ground. What you gonna